Today on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, in your week in IndyCar guest show, who do we have? The man that just burrowed into our hearts decades ago. That's right. 2013 Indianapolis 500 winner, Tony Kanaan. Also, coincidentally, quick like a bunny on opening day here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, running 11th in your number 14 AJ Foyt Chevy, sponsored by ABC Supply. Going to do a quick episode this week. I know you're driving home, so we've got about 15 minutes or so, my friend. Before we get into the fan questions, brought to you by Cooper Tires and the Justice Brothers, TorontoMotorsports.com and Bell Racing Helmets USA. TK, tell us about your day.
It was a good day. I mean, a little weird, Marshall, I have to say. Although it was all the excitement to be back on opening day, it was really weird not to see some of my friends, including you, and a lot of the fans there. You know, it was like by habit, I got out of the bus. I always have a couple of Sharpies in my pocket just in case. It's a lot quicker to sign with your own Sharpie, you know, like you sign an autograph and you can sign as many as you can, and instead to grab people's pen, whatever. So there was nobody there, you know, really weird, really different. I've never had experience. Obviously, I think nobody had a situation like this, especially at the Speedway. So mixed feelings, but then I got in the car and driving around that place was always awesome. So kind of quickly forgot about that and got on with the day.
Why don't we kick off here with a question from Keith Swanson, talking about when you came over to the IRL from CART, being an Indy 500 rookie, being so fast. Keith is curious, what was the thing about Indianapolis Motor Speedway that you loved immediately? And he wonders, what was that first month of May like for you?
I have to say, a lot of people ask me that question. Of course, the Indianapolis 500 was always a race that I wanted to be in. So the first thing was like, wow, I'm here. But I've never had driven in the track. I never had actually been in the track until that month of May in 2002. And for some reason, we clicked, Marshall. We just really clicked. And I love the way that the layout of the track was. It suited my style. I have no idea what it is, but from day one, we just like each other. It's one of those things. You know, it's like a friendship. Sometimes you meet someone, you're like, I think I've known you forever, and I only known you for a few weeks. And that's exactly what happened between me and the track.
We got a couple questions talking about your hashtag TK last lap plan. Nobody wants the last lap to be over, obviously. You've mentioned recently, hey, it's been a little bit of a weird year. Not exactly the 500 any of us planned. You know, could I be back next year? Yeah, hopefully. Got Victoria Morrell just wondering, thoughts about how the rest of your year might be once this season is done? Does your mind shift to what more could I do next year? Does it turn off a little bit? Folks are curious about what you think this final lap end of year might be, knowing how things might not be going according to plan.
Sure. I mean, if you guys looked, you know, when I announced my last lap, it was basically that I was stepping down from a full-time deal in IndyCar. I really never said I was going to retire completely. I mean, the idea was to run this last lap and then see what's there. You know, obviously Indianapolis was going to be a priority to run at least for another 2-3 years. But now with all this COVID and the pandemic, I'm reconsidering a lot of things. So I don't think I can say I'm coming back, I'm not coming back. Obviously, the 500, like I said, was always in my plans anyway. So I'll be working towards that for sure. I don't think, even if this was my last one for real, I don't think I can be the last one without the fans. And, you know, the fans made me who I am in Indy. I can't do that to them, and I can't do that to myself. So all I can say right now, we're considering if it's going to be 5 races, if it's going to be 1 race, I don't know, but I'm definitely not, I'm not ready to not to race. That's pretty much, that's all I can say right now.
Amen. Our good friend, Shauna Oakwood, she asked something, and there's a little bit of, education in the answer. She says, TK, any chance you'd ever do your own podcast? You're always so entertaining on air with Hinch, and Well, you've been doing one for a while. So do you have any plans to maybe do more podcasting maybe when you're done with this 2020 season?
100%. That's something that is on the works. I mean, between myself and Benito that works with me, we're being tossing around a lot of ideas and what to do for next year, you know. So obviously still the Indy 500 was a priority. We just announced that I'm going to do the Tony Stewart series, so the racing side. But then having more time in my hand, I always like to do it. I mean, I participate on yours. I mean, I do one for Big Machine in a race by race. So, but to have a proper one, you know, the Tony Canon podcast, it's something that is, it's in the books. Like, we have it written down to see if we're going to start. But as of right now, you know, I think I need a little bit more time to dedicate to that, which will be, you know, if you think about it, by the end of this month, I'm actually done for the year. So probably I will start working on that in a month or so.
I think the Dale Jr. download better be seriously concerned when you get yours up and running. You mentioned the SRX deal. Got a question from Dan Gallagher about that, who says, "Hey, Tony, who do you want to invite to the new SRX Racing Championship for the purposes of, one, entertainment? Who would you invite for revenge, number two, and who would you invite, third, just for admiration to get a chance to go racing with them?"
So what was the first one?
Entertainment. Sorry, just that. For sheer, who would you invite for sheer entertainment?
Oh, that would be Elio for sure. I mean, he can't be more entertaining than that guy. Second one was
revenge. What? Who do you want to take
revenge.
Out? Who owes? Who do you owe?
Revenge, I would say, but not in a bad way. In a good way, I would try to get Dixon to see if I can beat him in something.
I love that one. What about admiration? Who's the one you've never had a chance to race with where you'd be like, wow?
Jeff Gordon. I would love to see Jeff Gordon
there. Oh, how cool. Got a question for you all the way from Sweden. Our pal Henrik Linader asked, "Tony, can you tell us maybe who the best driver you would say you've either been racing against throughout your career or maybe had as a teammate throughout your career?"
It's so hard, man.
Don't say Dario just because it'll make him mad.
No, I mean, if you guys think about, look how many good teammates I had, man. I had Zanardi, Dan Weldon, Dario Franchitti. I mean, Scott Dixon. I would say, it's gonna be no surprise, but I have to pick Dixon. It's just, you know, I just think that he has an edge of every of other ones were really good, but Dixon, there is something there that I can't explain. So I would say Dixon.
I thought you were gonna say Jose Luis De Palma from 1996. But maybe not.
He was good too.
Oh, he was. He did make it to IndyCar, but you know, two out of the three of you did. That Castro Neves guy did okay for himself, so that's not too bad. Let's go to another fun one from Neil Joseph. TK, any good stories you can share about the one and only IndyCar season you got to share with your pal Rubens Barrichello?
Man, it was a fun season, right? I mean, Rubens and I are like brothers. We, he's the godfather of my son. I'm the godfather of his son. It was just a really cool environment. Rubens struggled that year a little bit. You know, he spent too many years in Formula One. So I was actually, we never really had raced together. But you imagine Rubens coming from Formula One, I mean, being the toughest teammate Schumacher ever had. And he got here and it took him a little bit of time to adapt. And the lack of testing, because IndyCar has mandatory test days, he was struggling. I was, you know, consistently quicker than him. So that kind of didn't sit very well with him in a healthy way, not in a bad way. But, you know, I would say the most fun episode was in Detroit. We were on a debrief. And he said to me, I can't be slower than you. I know I'm not slower than you, which I know that for sure. But at that time, he was, right? I mean, Rubens is extremely talented. So I said, well, That is a possibility, but the reality is you are slower than me. He's like, it's impossible. I've been Schumacher's teammate. I beat him. It's like he was like, he couldn't believe it, right? I said, well, Rubens, look at this way. How lucky Schumacher was that I wasn't his teammate, because if you're that tough and I'm better than you, he would have won 7 championships. So, and we broke out and then we started laughing. And, but it was a fun year.
You're really a savage. Oh, that's so brilliant. You're a savage. No, but I love just seeing the camaraderie again, knowing that, you know, if he'd been able to do a second year or third year, obviously he would have been closer to what he expected. But it was just fun to see you and his son.
I mean, we had fun, but I tell you, Rubens, if he had done 2 or 3 years there, he was going to be really tough. I think he was going to be in a contention for a championship. Since then, he's been winning everything that he races on. So very, very, very good driver.
And his son, Dudu, is making some waves, too, on the road to Indy.
I know, man. Yep.
Can't wait. All right, we got three more questions, brother. Love this one. Two of them are a little bit of pulling on the heartstrings. We're going to close on a funny one, though. So we'll start with Craig Stasila, who says, if Tony Kanaan in 2020 could send a message back in time to himself, his first time Indy 500, Tony Kanaan in 2002, what would today's Tony Kanaan tell him?
Honestly, I would just tell the young Tony Kanaan to enjoy, because I think everything I went through was worth it. I wouldn't say I would do this different. Somebody asked me that question the other day. What would you do different? I said, I don't think I would do anything different. I think everything was part of a learning curve. But I think I was so nervous. It was such an intimidating place. I would say just chill, relax, and enjoy the moment, because it's really special to be part of an event like this. So I would say relax and enjoy it.
Let's go to our penultimate question. Comes from Laura Ann. She says, as a fan, I've heard the heartbreaking but inspirational story of Tony's father and his wishes on his deathbed about Tony going after his dreams to fulfill the promise that he had. She's curious, what type of legacy do you want to leave for your children, Tony? And what do you hope their futures might be like, knowing that we're in the midst of some turbulent times?
So the legacy, I think the most important part that people, I want my kids to understand, it's possible. There is nothing. You shouldn't listen to anybody. You should listen to what people say. That's what you want to do, whatever makes you happy, you have to do it. I mean, I was 13. Everybody told me after my dad passed away, you better go find a job, go work, go to school, because this racing deal is not going to work for you now that you don't have him, you don't have the money. Like, everybody had an opinion about it, and I said, no, I believe in this, and I'm going to make every single sacrifice, which I did. I mean, people that follow my career know exactly what I went through, a lot of sacrifice, but I made it happen. So my legacy, what I want people to understand, my kids, it doesn't matter what people's opinions are or anything like that. So basically, my legacy will be, take my life as an example that anything, it's possible when you put the effort in.
Let's close with a question here, TK, from Mike Stoops. And I'm just going to go with Mike's last question, because I think the answer to all three is one person. Mike asks, Tony, could you please name in your career the best journalist, favorite journalist, and worst journalist you've experienced? And you and I know the answer already. Well, I mean, there's only one. He's 70 years old.
Yeah, it's Robbie Miller, all the above. Unfortunately, he will take all of them.
And just speak on that for a sec, Tony, because, you know, this is Robin's 51st year covering the Indy 500, etc. You know, you and I, we've known each other for a long time, love you, just all that kind of stuff. We have a great relationship. You get to see Robin Miller every day, though, or seemingly in Indianapolis, and the relationship the two of you have built, it is a pretty special thing that, honestly, not a lot of drivers have that kind of a long-standing bond and love and maybe sometimes hate relationship with one journalist. Just share some thoughts about that, because you and Miller, it is a great couple.
You have to think that, you know, let's use the racing world, right? A driver and a journalist, really, it doesn't make any sense for them to be friends, because this guy is going to ride the truth sometimes, and you're all gonna like it. And sometimes he's, you know, he's gonna have to interview or break news that you don't want him to break, but he found out, and so on. So, I mean, with Robin, I just like the guy from the get go. And remember, I mean, I met Robin on the good old days of the Indianapolis Star, and Robin was Robin, like very controversial, like. Will never save anything. Like, if he found out what it is, he was going to say the way it is. You know, got fired, for God's sakes, because of that, you know, out of Tony George got him fired. So, but I liked him. I liked because I think, in a way, deep inside, I'm that way as well. Marshall, you and I had plenty of arguments, and not plenty, but a few arguments and disagreements, but because we're truthful, and I liked him. So I've learned how to deal with him as far as a journalist and separate the friendship and the journalism. But Robbie is the type of guy that, you know, he finds stuff out. And then I can tell you there are like plenty of occasions, because I built the relationship with him, that I got a phone call say, hey, I know what you're up to. And I will say, please, can you hold on that? And I know you've done that for me too. We don't need to get into details right now, but please, Robin, don't please. And then he did. But again, I would say if we were not friends, or if we hadn't built this relationship, that probably could have hurt either a negotiation that I was doing or a news that, but he did. So that says that, you know, he is not only about breaking the news and getting what he needs to do. He has a heart too, you know what I mean? Which people that don't know him, never going to find that. But, and he's one of my best friends as far as, you know, on the racing world. I love him to death. I have a huge issue the way he dresses all the time. I think it's not appropriate. I have issues that not issues, but I think things that we don't agree, that I think it should be different. But he's Robin. He's 70 plus years old, and then he's not going to change, and I like that on him. So, you know, I think he's in the same way, he's his worst enemy, but he's also happy the way he is, which I really appreciate that too. Robbie's not the type of guy that wanted to be this famous journalist that writes about it. He likes his life the way it is, and I love that about it.
A man whose veins only know Pepsi. Gotta love yeah, Mr. Pepsi Miller.
And only wears freaking, like, workout pants every day. It's crazy. Crazy.
We're gonna get those washed one of these days, brother. I know you're home, and so. you got to run. Hope it sounds like you got a cold or something going on. So hope
I got a sinus infection. So everybody's staying away from me because they think I have COVID or something. So, but I'm good.
You're a mess, but we love you, Tony. Well, we're gonna look forward to seeing how the rest of the month goes for you, and obviously, well, how's this? This is your last lap tour for 2020. I'm looking forward to the 2021 last lap tour as well. Thanks for making some time, my friend.
Last lap. We might create that one. Last lap.
Yeah. Thanks so much to you and Benito for making this happen.
We miss you here.
Thank you, brother.
See you, bro.